WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two Wisconsin communities are getting more than $1 million in federal money to fight the opioid crisis. Nate Wegehout reports.
The funding from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is part of a broad approach to responding to the overdose crisis. Funding was given to communities around Marshfield and Kashina in the Menominee Nation, where deaths from methamphetamine are more common. The money will go toward deploying Narcan and funding programs to support families struggling with addiction. Over 9,500 people in Wisconsin died of an overdose between 2014 and 2021. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
More than 32,000 children in Wisconsin have been taken off Medicaid rolls since May. Renewal applications are required again now that the COVID-19 public emergency is over. William Park Sutherland is with the policy group Kids Forward. He says he's worried now that it's back to school time.
Kids that have stable access to health insurance are more likely to do better in school. They're more likely to be employed as adults. They're less likely to visit the emergency room.
National estimates show 3 out of 4 kids who lose Medicaid coverage are likely still eligible. Experts say many low-income families slip through the cracks due to things like frequent moves or lack of phone or internet service. The First Lady is talking up the Biden administration's efforts to fight cancer. More from Terry Bell.
The president's Cancer Moonshot Government Initiative aims to cut cancer deaths in the U.S. by half in 25 years. In Madison yesterday, First Lady Jill Biden visited Exact Sciences, where they make products that detect cancer early when it's easiest to cure it.
They need to know that help is available, how important it is to get screened and early protection. It can make all the difference between life and death.
Mrs. Biden also held a roundtable about screening and prevention at the Foundation for Black Women's Wellness. Cancer kills women and people of color disproportionately. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Efforts to limit what books are included in public libraries are on the rise across the nation. Wisconsin is experiencing these efforts too. A group of people in northern Wisconsin town of Iron River sent an anonymous letter to the community. The letter details a request to restrict the community's public library from promoting and even loaning out LGBTQ materials. The library denied the request, but the anonymous group plans to meet next week to discuss further steps the community can take. The group is considering a petition to remove the books or call for library board members to resign. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's plumbing code has been updated for the first time in over 10 years, according to a WKOW report. Department of Safety and Professional Services Secretary Designee Dan Harith says the energy portion of the code needed to be updated especially. Harith also noted the Wisconsin plumbing code is unique because it's a homegrown code that doesn't always line up with the national code, so collaboration from local partners is essential. An Almena man has been arrested and accused of possession of child pornography. 56-year-old Charles Lambert is facing 14 charges of possession of child pornography after a phone number in connection with a cyber tip from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children was traced back to him. Lambert allegedly confirmed the phone number belonged to him and said that he viewed child pornography about 2 to 3 times per week. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are back in town. Good morning. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers kick off a Labor Day weekend series with a 3-game set beginning tonight against the Phillies. The crew had a 9-game winning streak that came to an end after losing that series to the Cubs in Chicago. Christian Yelich.
You know, the streaks don't really matter. Those are games in the past. So you got to really prepare for the night in front of you and just take it one game at a time. And you got to look at it as you've won 0 games in a row. You know, every night's a big night from here on out the rest of the season. So we want to get to where we're going. We need to continue to play well and proud of the guys.
Freddy Peralta on the mound tonight against the Phillies' Zach Wheeler. First pitch at 7:10. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers kick off the season tomorrow at Camp Randall Stadium against the Bulls from the University at Buffalo. The kickoff time at 2:30. New head coach Luke Fickell on what he told his position coaches heading into this game.
My challenge to coaches each and every week, no matter what the game is, I don't want too much. It still comes down to who's going to play the fastest, who's going to play the hardest, and who's going to be the most aggressive. Some would say make less mistakes.
NFL, some key Packers players missing practice yesterday. Wide receiver Romeo Doubs with a hamstring, and linebacker Devondre Campbell with an ankle. Last night at Lambeau Field, it was the Packers Hall of Fame induction banquet for Jordy Nelson and guard Josh Sitton.
I wanted to play baseball because it was my favorite sport, and I wanted to play football for the Dallas Cowboys. I didn't get to play for the Cowboys, but I did get to win a Super Bowl in Cowboys Stadium.
Jordy Nelson remembering after the team had won Super Bowl 45.
Being on the field in the confetti with my wife and my son, and then eventually going in that back interview area, and I feel like getting that iconic shot that every dad who was a player and wins a championship wants when their son is sitting on their lap talking about a Super Bowl.
That's Packers Hall of Fame inductee Jordy Nelson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Daniel's show on a Friday morning. It is the first day of September. Yeah, come on in, grab a seat, and get something to drink, maybe a coffee or some tea, and relax for a little bit because we have a lot to discuss over the next couple of hours, 7.5 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Outside today, going to be another nice summertime day, much warmer than yesterday. Lacrosse today, sunshine, high around 86. Eau Claire, sunshine, high around 87 degrees. In Richland Center, sunshine, high around 85. Amory, sunshine, high around 86. And up in Hayward, mostly sunny and breezy, the high around 84 degrees. And in sports, the Brewers were off yesterday, and so were the Cubs. So Milwaukee remains 3 games ahead of Chicago in the National League Central. The Brewers start a 3-game series with the Phillies tonight in Milwaukee. And in the headlines, there's breaking news. We just got the new jobs report from August, and the economy added another 187,000 jobs, more than economists expected. We'll get to some details on that in just a minute. Also, First Lady Jill Biden was in Madison yesterday. Two of the leaders of the Proud Boys who were involved in the January 6th insurrection were given stiff sentences yesterday, although only about half of what prosecutors were seeking. Also in the headlines, Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland is asking the House Oversight Committee to look into $2 billion in funding that Jared Kushner received for his private equity fund from the Saudi government. And President Joe Biden's Labor Department wants to give about 3 million workers a raise by making them eligible for overtime pay. So that's good news for workers who may now be eligible for that overtime pay that were not eligible for that before. And we'll go over some of the details in that as well. But the first thing I want to get to is the breaking news, the August jobs report. I have information here from the New York Times. It says U.S. job growth remains steady. The labor market continued to moderate, with hiring remaining steady, but the unemployment rate rising, reflecting efforts by the Federal Reserve to cool the economy. And it does look like we are heading for a soft landing, just threading that needle just perfectly so that that big recession that Republicans were talking about since the day Joe Biden won has not yet materialized. It says here employers added 187,000 jobs in August, unemployment rate at 3.8%. And the story says, and this is from the New York Times, just posted minutes ago, the United States added 187,000 jobs in August, but the unemployment rate jumped unexpectedly, reflecting the impact of high interest rates and the U.S. economy's gradual cooling from the boom that followed pandemic lockdowns. The data reported just a few minutes ago by the Labor Department is the latest indication that while hiring has weakened, there is no sign of an imminent recession that would result in widespread joblessness. The unemployment rate at 3.8% is still low, but the rise from 3.5% in July was notable. The job growth figures for June and July were revised down by a combined 110,000 jobs, contributing to a picture slightly weaker than it previously appeared. Here's a quote for you. It says, the good news is it's a normal that favors workers more than we're used to over the past 25 years. And I think that would be a good thing for many of us who are workers. It's a normal that favors workers more than we're used to over the past 25 years. That quote from Justin Blesch, an assistant professor of economics at Cornell University. Moreover, he noted, stability has its own benefits. People are more likely to be part of the workforce if they feel confident they'll be able to stay there for a while. And here's another quote. He said, this is where we start to get to the time where the duration of a good labor market matters more than how good. Dr. Blesch said, much of the slowdown has come from industries that are returning to more typical levels after the pandemic's upheaval. Exhibit A, truck transportation, which grew to serve a stay-at-home online shopping spree and shrank as it died down. Trucking company payrolls have flattened out, which probably masks an outright decline, since many contracted owner-operators have also parked their rigs. The bankruptcy of Yellow, the trucking company, which employed about 30,000 drivers and other staff members, probably accelerated that process as the amount of available work has shrunk. And here's a quote for you. It says, the truck job market has gone from excruciatingly tight in 2021 and the first half of 2022 to being as loose as it's been since sometime shortly after the Great Recession, said Kenny Veith, president, senior analyst at ACT Research. He said, with Yellow taking 20-plus thousand drivers out of the market, it's a start in getting supply under control, end quote. Those shifts are evident in the overall number of job openings per unemployed worker, which declined to about 1.5 in July from more than 2 job openings per employer or per employee, or I should say per unemployed worker early in 2022, indicating that employers' appetite for labor is nearly sated. The average number of hours worked per week has also fully receded, with overtime becoming less essential as payrolls have filled out. While with those hiring frenzies unwinding, employment growth has narrowed to a few industries that are still in recovery, like leisure and hospitality, or are set up for sustained demand because of structural factors in the economy, like education and healthcare. Both of those are also disproportionately supplied by immigrants and women, groups that have entered the labor force at rates that surprised many analysts. And here's another quote for you. It says, at some point, and you're seeing that somewhat on the leisure and hospitality side, those legs run out, said Stephen Juneau, an economist with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. He added, health services are structurally supported by aging demographics, and we're just getting hospital funding back to normal. Once those support legs come off, what are we left with? So that's the latest on the jobs report that just came out a few minutes ago. Looks like the economy continues to plug along in a good way. And one more thing I wanted to mention before we go to our first break. First Lady Jill Biden was in Madison yesterday. She toured Exact Sciences to highlight early cancer detection. I'll give you a little bit of this article from the Wisconsin State Journal before we go to the break. This was just posted this morning. It says, First Lady Jill Biden visited Madison yesterday to promote early cancer detection and attend a fundraiser with state politicians, among other events, throughout the day. The visit capped a three-week run of national political figures, including President Joe Biden and Republican presidential nominees, seeking support in battleground Wisconsin as the 2024 campaign heats up. It's the second stop by the Bidens in the Madison area this year. The president visited DeForest in February to deliver his first public speech after the State of the Union address. Jill Biden landed at Dane County Regional Airport early on Thursday afternoon and first took an hour-long tour of an Exact Sciences laboratory. The Madison-headquartered company makes cancer screening tests. Exact Sciences' best-known product is Cologuard. You've seen the commercials on TV, right? That little box with arms and legs that tells you to get a test. That's, as you know, an at-home screening test for colon cancer. The company has about 6,500 employees, roughly 3,000 of whom are in Dane County. And that's according to Exact Sciences spokesperson, Stephanie Spanos. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, going to take our first break of the show. Stick around. It's a short one. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the doo-dah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' on, on, on.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas, got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means. And just won't let you be.
The cats that you meet on the streets speak of true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone.
Chugging like the doo-dah man once told me you got to pay your hands.
When you think about early labor unions, do you think of Wisconsin? You should. The state's first labor union formed in Milwaukee in 1847 when the bricklayers organized, then the Carpenters Union in 1848. The National Labor Union didn't even form until 1866. A State Historical Society report shows Wisconsin's union members also pushed for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance legislation, becoming a model for other states. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
It is going to be a scorcher of a Labor Day weekend today. Mostly sunny, still quite comfortable today. We'll get to around 86 this afternoon. Tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 90. Then on Sunday, the heat is on. Sunshine, 98 for a high by Monday. Mostly sunny with a high of 97. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Red and white, blue suede shoes. I'm Uncle Sam. How do you do? Give me five.
Thank you.
summertime done come and gone. My, oh, my. It is the 1st of September. Can you believe it? Now, we still got some warm weather left, right? Oftentimes, September is a summer month. You never know what can happen in September. Some of the nicest weather may be in the month of September, so we have that to look forward to. 57 degrees right now in La Crosse. And 50 degrees in Richland Center. Everybody on the west side of Wisconsin today looking for highs in the mid-80s. Yeah, 24 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And I have some information here about the sentencing yesterday of two of the leaders of the Proud Boys, now ex-Proud Boys, who were involved, if not instrumental, in the Capitol riot that took place on January 6th of 2021, the insurrection. And I have a headline here from Axios. It says, ex-Proud Boys leader gets one of the longest Capitol riot sentences. And this information gathered by Serene Habeshian, it says two former leaders of the Proud Boys were sentenced yesterday, for seditious conspiracy and other charges related to the Capitol riot. And it's Joseph Biggs was sentenced to 17 years in prison, while Zachary Rail was sentenced to 15 years in prison per the Department of Justice. Seems like anybody who gets on the team with Donald Trump eventually gets sentenced to something, right? And Biggs's sentence is the second longest handed down in the January 6th cases, though it's about half as long as what prosecutors requested. Rails was the third longest sentence so far. The Department of Justice asked that Biggs serve 33 years in prison. Rails served 30 years. The longest sentence so far is an 18-year prison term being served by Stuart Rhodes, the founder of the far-right militia group Oath Keepers. Biggs and Rail were both found guilty of seditious conspiracy in May, along with other members of the extreme right-wing group, including Ethan Nordin and their leader, Enrique Tarrio. So both men sentenced yesterday were also sentenced to 36 months of supervised release following their prison sentences. So far, more than 1,100 people have been arrested in nearly all 50 states for crimes related to the breach of the U.S. Capitol. These include more than 350 individuals charged with assaulting or impeding law enforcement. What about Back to Blue? 27 minutes after 8 o'clock, going to take a bottom of the hour break. Stick around. You are tuned in to your local civic media radio station.
Went to see the captain, strangest I could find. Laid my position down, laid it on the line. I won't slave for beggar's pay, likewise gold and jewels, but I would slave to learn the way, sink your ship of fools, ship of
your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. New jobs numbers just in from the Labor Department. They show employers added 187,000 new positions in August. That's the same as it was the month before, 187,000. Most of the growth was in healthcare, leisure and hospitality, and construction. In a nutshell,
while the job market is expected to soften in the months ahead, it has remained more resilient than expected.
Bank rates, Mark Hamrick.
Monthly payroll gains have averaged 258,000 this year, down from last year's monthly average of nearly 400,000 jobs added a month.
Unemployment was at 3.8% in August. That's up from 3.5% in July. Again, non-farm payroll additions, 187,000 in August, as the Fed ponders yet another interest rate hike at its meeting this month. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. According to a WPR report, some Wisconsin libraries are receiving requests to remove or add ratings to books that some community members claim are inappropriate or promote gender ideology. The requests come as U.S. libraries see a record number of demands to censor library books. The American Library Association found more than 2,500 books were targets for censorship in 2022, and most were either written by or about people of color and the LGBTQ+ community. A Turtle Lake man was arrested and accused of possession of child pornography. 56-year-old Frank Killa is facing three charges of possession of child pornography after authorities searched his vehicle and allegedly found a container of USB drives, one of which contained images of suspected child pornography. Killa is due in court today, and a $5,000 cash bond was set. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
5 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up and gone. Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Daddy, working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
'Cause I make a little money, hauling coal by the ton. But when Saturday rolls around, I'm too tired for having fun.
Too tired for heaven. I'm just working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Working
in a coal mine,
going
down, down, down.
Working
in a coal mine, whoop, about to slip down.
Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on?
Daddy, Lord, I'm so tired. How long can this go on? That's Lee Dorsey doing the original version, the big hit version, working in a coal mine, going back about 60 years. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, this day before the big Labor Day weekend, or I guess later today it'll be part of the big Labor Day weekend, right? Hope you're not working in a coal mine today. 8:35 now on this Friday morning, the first day of September. Got 62 degrees in Eau Claire and 63 degrees in Amory. Everybody looking for highs today in the mid-80s. And another story that I want to get to is this story about Jared Kushner. And I know some of you have heard this story. Well, now there's going to be a little bit brighter light shined on this story about Jared Kushner receiving $2 billion from the Saudi government right after he exited the White House back in 2021. And some people are asking questions about this money now. I have a story here from The Hill. Raskin asks Comer to subpoena Kushner for information on firm's Saudi ties. And this piece was posted yesterday by Emily Brooks at thehill.com. It says House Oversight and Accountability Committee ranking member Jamie Raskin, Democrat from Maryland, asked panel chairman James Comer, Republican from Kentucky, to subpoena Jared Kushner to produce documents about money his investment firm has received from Saudi Arabia and other Gulf monarchies. In a letter on Thursday, yesterday, to Comer, Raskin referenced Comer's recent public comments expressing skepticism about the post-Trump administration activities of Kushner, the son-in-law of former President Donald Trump, who was a top White House aide. Raskin asked Comer to join the Democrats' probe into Kushner's firm called Affinity Partners. That group, formed in 2021, reportedly raised $2 billion from an investment fund led by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and millions more from other Gulf nations. And here's a quote. It says, "I am encouraged by your recent acknowledgement that what Kushner did crossed the line of ethics and your repeated assertions that our committee is investigating foreign nationals' attempts to target and coerce high-ranking U.S. officials' family members by providing money or other benefits in exchange for certain actions." That's what Raskin said in the letter to Comer. "In light of these concerns, I urge you to pursue a serious and objective investigation by issuing a subpoena to Affinity and requiring the firm to comply with my February 15th request for documents regarding its receipt of billions of dollars from Gulf monarchies shortly after Kushner left a senior White House position he used to reshape U.S. foreign policy towards Saudi Arabia and the Middle East in Saudi Arabia's favor, a request you have thus far allowed Mr. Kushner to ignore and defy," Raskin wrote. A Republican spokesperson for the Oversight Committee brushed off Raskin's request. And here's a quote from that spokesperson. "Ranking Member Raskin's letter to Chairman Comer is nothing more than an attempt to distract from the mounting evidence of Joe Biden's involvement in his family's influence peddling schemes. If Ranking Member Raskin was truly concerned
about ethics in government, then he would join Republicans in our investigation of the Biden's blatant corruption. However, Ranking Member Raskin is only concerned about playing Biden family defense lawyer. And we should mention that there hasn't been any evidence brought forward that the Biden family is involved in anything like that. I'll continue with the story. It says, in a CNN interview earlier in August, Comer was pressed on how his committee is approaching business activities of Trump's family members compared to Republicans' probe of President Biden's family foreign business dealings, primarily those of his son, Hunter Biden. And here's a quote. He said, I've been vocal that I think that what Kushner did crossed the line of ethics, Comer said, but drew a distinction. But it happened after he left office. And Jared Kushner actually has a legitimate business. This money to the Bidens happened while Joe Biden was vice president, while he was flying to those countries, end quote. In 2022, when Democrats controlled the House, Democrats on the House Oversight Committee requested that Kushner produce various documents and information about affinity partners and his communications with Saudi officials. Raskin said that affinity has ignored Democrats' requests since October. Raskin had asked Comer in February to join him in renewing that request to Kushner, writing in a letter not previously made public that the House cannot craft legislation to set a line as to where you can be with relatives of high-ranking government officials with respect to doing business with adversaries overseas without examining the plethora of actual and potential ethical violations of the previous administration, meaning the Trump administration. Why? The question is, why did the Saudis give $2 billion to Jared Kushner? I think we would all like the answer to that question. What did he have to do to get that money? So maybe we'll find out, but it may take a while. 8:41 right now. The next story that I want to get to is about this overtime pay. Have you heard about this? Do you ever qualify for overtime pay at your job? I have a story here from Politico.com. Biden Labor Department moves to expand overtime pay for millions of people, workers making less than about $55,000 annually would be automatically entitled to time and a half pay under the Department of Labor's proposal. This story was posted yesterday at Politico, and it says here the Biden administration on Wednesday proposed giving raises to more than 3 million workers by making them eligible for overtime pay. The move by the Department of Labor comes more than 8 years after the Obama administration embarked upon a similar effort to boost wages by rewriting overtime eligibility rules under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Workers making less than about $55,000 annually would be automatically entitled to time and a half pay under this new proposal, up from $35,000 set in 2019 under former President Donald Trump. The Obama-era plan initially proposed setting a $50,000 floor before settling on $47,476 annually, though a federal judge in Texas blocked the rule from taking effect. The Department of Labor estimates that the change would result in higher wages for about 3.6 million workers. And here's a quote for you. It says here, this is from the Labor Secretary, for over 80 years, a cornerstone of workers' rights in this country is the right to a 40-hour work week, the promise that you get to go home after 40 hours or you get higher pay for each extra hour that you spend laboring away from your loved ones, Acting Labor Secretary Julie Sue said in a release. She also said workers deserve to continue to share in the economic prosperity of Bidenomics, end quote. Under the plan, employers must show that a worker is salaried, makes at least a certain amount of money, and works in a bona fide executive, administrative, or professional capacity in order to be exempt from hourly overtime requirements. The Biden proposal, if finalized, will likely face similar legal arguments to the ones presented against the Obama overtime rule. In that case, a judge ruled that the Department of Labor exceeded its authority by raising the salary threshold so drastically that it effectively eliminates the third part of that test. Employer groups whose members would likely see increased labor costs as a result of this proposed policy quickly lined up in opposition. Are you surprised? I'm not. A quote here says, massive increases in labor costs like this simply cannot be absorbed by businesses, the Partnership to Protect Workplace Opportunity said in a statement, and they added, it will reduce opportunities, especially for recent graduates, younger professionals hoping to begin their careers, end quote. The Department of Labor's proposal also includes a mechanism to update the salary threshold every 3 years by linking it to the 35th percentile of income. The 2016 proposal was tied to the 40th percentile, which the department said at the time echoed the level when the overtime standard was first enacted under President Franklin Roosevelt. If you're working more than 40 hours a week, you deserve time and a half, right? 8:45 right now, just about to turn to 8:46. Got a break coming up. It's a short one. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It is going to be a scorcher of a Labor Day weekend today. Mostly sunny, still quite comfortable today. We'll get to around 86 this afternoon. Tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 90. Then on Sunday, the heat is on. Sunshine, 98 for a high by Monday. Mostly sunny with a high of 97. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show as we get ready for Labor Day weekend. Music from the Isley Brothers. Got work to do. 8:52 right now. Outside, 62 degrees in La Crosse and 61 degrees in Hayward. If you have an opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Again, that's 715-388-7155. Time now to turn to the wellness corner of the Stu Daniels Show. Got some information here from the New York Times. They have a column called Well, and in this column that came out yesterday, they have five tips to handle conflict, and especially if you hate confrontation. Okay, this is a column by Jan C. Dunn, and she tells a story about what happened to her when she had a confrontation. She starts out by saying, I was in the middle seat on an airplane recently during a flight to London when a person behind me put her bare foot on my armrest. What would you do? She says, my heart started to pound. I knew I would have to say something, but before I could, a man next to me who was writing in a notebook glanced at the foot and lightly stabbed it
with his pen. The foot, unsurprisingly, slid away. For some of us, the mere thought of confrontation triggers a stress response, complete with rapid heartbeat, tense muscles, and shortness of breath, said Karen Osilla, an associate professor in psychiatry and behavioral sciences at Stanford Medicine. This causes people to avoid it, she said, because we associate it with danger. But not only are disagreements inevitable, they can have benefits, said Bo Seo, author of Good Arguments, How Debate Teaches Us to Listen and Be Heard. Research suggests that resolving conflict in healthy ways increases your well-being, lowers stress, and improves self-esteem. Productive disputes, for all their challenges, are pathways to a bigger life, he said. So, how should conflict-averse people deal with tense situations? I asked experts for tips on how to confront someone when you would rather do almost anything else. First, start with people you trust. If confrontation puts you on edge, practice disagreeing with people you trust, said CEO, quote, because honest, open-minded disagreement requires psychological safety. Try getting comfortable saying, I actually disagree with that, he said. Think of healthy dissent as a muscle you can build over time, he added. Second, ease into the discussion. First, take a deep breath, Dr. Osilla said, which reduces anxiety and helps you to stay calm. Next, in a polite tone, concede that you don't know the other person's intentions, said Sheila Heen, a deputy director of the Harvard Negotiation Project and a co-author of Difficult Conversations, How to Discuss What Matters Most. People often waste time imagining the other person's motivations, she said, but these are impossible to know for sure. She said, either way, the impact of their action is the problem you want to solve. Then, calmly share your concern, focusing on how the situation has affected you. You might say something like, hey, you may or may not be aware, but I'm cleaning up after your dog regularly in my yard, Heen said. Next is describe your emotions. After you express the effects of their actions or words, communicate your emotions, Heen said, and invite the other person to share theirs. An example would be, I'm frustrated, she said, or that comment you made stung. And don't bottle up your feelings because they can manifest as passive aggression or translate into anger or accusations, she said. It's better to name emotions, Heen added, instead of using them to blame and attack. And the last one I'll mention before we go to the break is shift to a learning conversation. Once you've shared your feelings, have a learning conversation to trade perspectives and solve the problem together, Heen said. She suggested asking, what worries or concerns you most about this? And what do you think I'm missing? Listen, ask follow-up questions, and suggest possible solutions, she said. So there are some tips for dealing with confrontation, especially if you don't like to deal with confrontation, from the New York Times. 8:58 right now. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.